Praise the Lord, and there is a chorus, 1, 3, one of the chorus says, you are worthy to receive praise.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, I want you to know, first of all, that I really appreciated that song in Amharic.
Amen.
It had a beautiful, beautiful spirit to it. It makes me wish that I could speak Amharic. The brother has the sun in his eye. Can
I wish I could sing on her?
Yeah. There we are. I can still see. Yeah, let's go on. Amen. We can't have the brother blinded. I can't bring a word that strong. Jesus could. Amen. Anyway, we'll get right to the word. As I was thinking about this meeting, amen. We have another option here, brother, if you want. Yeah. As I was thinking on this word last night, thinking on the meeting here, the word of Gideon came to me. And when I first thought of Gideon, my thought first went to Fikri. And we'll talk about Gideon, and you'll see how Fikri is Gideon. But then my thought extended to Jamal. And then it began to expand to the gathering here tonight. So let us see what God said about Gideon in Judges, the 6th and 7th chapter. I'm not going to do a lot of reading. I'll do mostly telling. Now, the nation of Israel, if we could call it a nation at that time, was in a lot of trouble. As we can see that our own nations are in trouble because they have disobeyed God. We have taken on idolatry. We have many things that we worship instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many things that the people of the land give their heart and their soul to. I couldn't begin to make a complete list of the idolatry in the land where I come from. But the problem was that Israel was not just a secular nation, they were the people of God. And so it was also the people of God that had gone into idolatry. Can we say the church or the church systems are supposed to be the people of God? And they have gone into rebellion against God. And I believe it was for something like 7 years, God allowed the Midianites to come against them. You remember a time when the communites came against Ethiopia in your history.
Seventeen years.
We were trying to figure out the years. When was the years?
Almost 20 years ago. 22,
24 years ago. 73 up to 1991.
Okay.
So I asked the question, did it have anything to do with the failure of God's people in the land? But you don't need to answer. It's just a question. Amen. So when there's trouble in God's people, He usually sends something to deliver them. It says in the 8th verse, He says that God sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God, fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And that was 8 through 10 in chapter 6.
Chapter 6, 8 to
8, 9 and 10.
Masafin 6, Kasamant Skaster. Yalo. Masafin 6, Kasamant Skaster. In Yila. Xavier Roda Israel de George, Nabi Yilaka, Rasum Malik. Yisrael Amlak Xavier in Yila. And he forgives another out of our two. Our message. አስለቀቋቸው ከግብፃውያን እጅ ከሚጋፋቸው ሁሉ እጅ አዳኗቸው ከፊታቸውም አሳደዷቸው አገራቸውም ሰጠዋቸው አገራቸውንም ይቅርታ ሰጠዋቸው እናንተም እኔ አምላካችሁን እግዚአብሔር ነኝ በምድራቸውም የተቀመጣችሁባቸውን የአሞራውያንን አማልክት አትፍሩ አልዋቸው እናንተ ግን ድምፄን አልሰማችሁም
So they did not listen, they did not heed the voice of the prophet. And we know that God has also sent the voice of a prophet into the land of Ethiopia. Amen. Have you listened to the voice of the prophet? So in the course of time, God chose a man named Gideon. Now, Gideon was not looking for God. Gideon did not want to become a hero. Gideon did not have a battle plan of any kind. In his natural, in the natural self of the old Gideon, he was a fearful man. He was a man who hid in the wine press so he could thrash some wheat and the Midianites wouldn't find him. You see, the Midianites had been robbing them blind. We have a term, rob you blind.
Midianites
if they had a little grain that they grew in the field, the Midianites would come in like grasshoppers and take it away. If they had a cow or a sheep or a goat, the Midianites would come in and steal it. So the Midianites were the hordes of the devil, and they were robbing and plundering and stealing the people of God. And God's people didn't have the power or authority to do anything about it. All they could do was hide. They had little holes in the ground that they lived, some of them. Amen. That sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? So the angel, God sent a messenger. And the angel called to Gideon. And he said unto him, "The Lord is with you, thou mighty man of valor." That's verse 12. Now, do you see that God has a little humor? Listen, here's the little man thrashing a little wheat. He's afraid of the Midianites. And God sends an angel and says, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Now, Gideon did not feel like a man of valor. But God said to Gideon, "You are a man of valor." How many of you believe that the Word of God is a creative Word?
Yes.
Amen.
If God says you are a mighty man of valor, a mighty woman,
yes,
a powerful man,
yes,
a man of great authority, it doesn't matter whether you feel like you have it or not.
Right.
If you believe the Word of God, it will make you what God said He wants of you.
Hallelujah.
I remember the day. What would 1987, how many years is that? Almost 40, I guess. 38 years or so?
I think so.
I remember the Lord spoke a word to me, and He said that He was going to send me to many countries and many places. I had never been to many places. Maybe in Canada. We only lived a few miles from Canada. And I found that word to be a strange word to me. Even stranger that He would have me to take His word. Nevertheless, I hid the word in my heart. And I said, "God, if this is really what you want to do, I will wait and see it happen." Amen.
Amen.
So Gideon had a word also. And the Lord told Gideon that he was a chosen man to deliver his people. From the power of the devilites. You know, the Midianites had to be a lot like the ISIS and the Al Qaeda. People without mercy. People that would just as soon kill you. They didn't care. No mercy. And God is saying to Gideon, I'm going to use you. Now Gideon made an excuse. Isn't it funny how when men are chosen of God, they make an excuse? When the brother first called me on a telephone and told me he wanted me to go up in the mountains and begin to preach the word, I said okay to the man, but then I said to the Lord, but Lord, this is not a good time. Where were you a few years ago when I had a lot of energy and I had a lot of things to say? And now there is nothing but trouble in my life. And you remember Moses made an excuse too. I can't talk very well. So Gideon's excuse was, my family is poor.
Verse 15,
my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. Do you think any of you might use that excuse? Or are you very wealthy? But Lord, I don't have hundreds of thousands of dollars. Amen. But you found out that that doesn't matter. Okay, so he had to get some confirmation that this was really an angel. He brought an offering and the angel consumed it with his rod. And when he found out it was really an angel of God, he was terrified that he had met God. So then the angel said, well, there's some things that you have to do before you can take this job on. Amen. And here's what he said. He said that, verse 25, it came to pass that same night that the Lord said to him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of the rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down.
ምራፍ 7 25 በእርሱም ዙሪያ ያለውን የማምለኪያ አጸድ ቁረጥ በዚያም ቁረጣ አናት ላይ ለአምላክ ለእግዚአብሔር መሠዊያ አሳምረህ ሥራ ሁለተኛውንም በሬ ውሰድ በዚያም በቆረጠው በማምለኪያ አጸዱ እንጨት ላይ የሚቃጠለውን መስዋዕት አቅርባለሁ ጌዲዮንም ከባሪያዎቹ 10 ሰዎች ወሰደ እግዚአብሔር እንዳለው አደረገ የአባቱንም ቤተሰቦች የከተማውንም ሰዎች ስለፈራ
So, in other words, he had to clean up his father's house. How many of you believe that there might be some familial spirits that come from our father's house that we need to clean up? You know what I mean by familial spirits? Spirits that come from our father, our grandfather, our grandmother, ancestral spirits. So Gideon was bound by the traditions of his father. These were religious spirits. There was religious rituals that they were carrying out that was not of God. How can you go to war against the devil when you are full of these religious things that are not of God? How many of you believe that God is preparing His people today to go into the final battle against Satan? So let me ask you elders and you brethren that are here, Jamel, Fikri, the brethren, did there come a time when you had to forsake religious traditions in order to come into the fullness of God? And when you did so, did you have 100% agreement from your father's house? So Gideon hitched up the second bullock. The bullock is a big, heavy beast. He's a bull. He's strong. Amen. I one time had a small bull. And I put a rope on him. He had escaped from his fence. And I kept going to get him and fetch him and bring him back. So he was ordinarily a very docile fellow. But one day he decided he didn't want to go with me. I mean, I had a rope that was this thick around him, around his mouth. So he went to turn away, and I was near a big electric post, and I wrapped the rope around there. You know what he did? He just turned his head and he ripped that rope like it was a little piece of plastic. Amen. So God used this beast to clean up the idolatry in his father's house. And after the beast had done his job, then the beast became the sacrifice.
Amen.
So we might have to sacrifice the beast in our soul as well. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now that didn't go over very well with his father. Oh, by the way, you know how he did it. He didn't do it in broad daylight.
Pardon?
He didn't do it in the daytime. He waited till the middle of the night. When his father was asleep. And he didn't do it alone. He took 10 men with him. I believe he didn't believe he was going to be able to get away with it. But you see, here again, if God tells you to do something, God gives you the power to do it. Have you found that out? Amen. So the next morning, the people of the village, the men of the city, arose early in the morning, verse 28, behold, the altar of Baal was cut down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was burnt.
በዙሪያውም ያለውም የማምለኪያ አጸድ ተቆርጦ በተሰራው መሠዊያ ላይ ሁለተኛው በሬ ተሰውቶ አገኙት። አሜን።
And they said, who did this?
ማን ይሄን ያደረገው?
Who did this?
ማን ይሄን ያደረገው?
And they began to ask around.
በዙሪያቸው ያሉትን መጠየቅ ጀመሩ። ምርመራ ካሄዱ
And one of the 10 men must have done some talking. Hey, you know what we did last night? We went to the old man's house and we took the idol down. By the way, do you know what that idol was? It was Ashtoreth.
Yes. Astaroth ila. Ladam Asaphusachin and Zeduro. Kamosh, Astaroth, Kamu.
Do you know how we celebrate Ashtoreth today? Come now, you know.
Yes, we know.
The same name as Easter.
Yes, like astronomers.
Easter.
Easter. Easter. Fasika. When Easter below.
It's all a matter of you change something from one language to another. It takes a little bit different pronouncing. Ashtoreth, Ishtar, Ashter, Easter. Same name. And what it represented in Israel, and still today, it's a sexual idolatry.
My goodness.
Tell me, is there not sexual idolatry in the land? Yes, of course.
Yes.
It's one of the biggest idols around.
Amen.
I mean, look at the advertising. Look at the television. Look at the movies. Can't make a movie without sex. So God said it has to be pulled down.
Amen.
And when they found out that Gideon did it, they said, bring Gideon out, he must die. You know, some of the religious symbols that go on in the church, if you were to touch them today, they would probably kill you. I could tell you a story. It isn't a long story. How these religious symbols are so important to people in these church systems. In Fort Yukon, Alaska, in about 1967 or so, there was a little Episcopal church in that Indian village of Fort Yukon. And the village priest offered to give me a tour of their little church. And he showed me the beautiful altar cloth that was made of moose skin and had beadwork by the women of the village. And he was very proud of it. And I innocently went over and I was going to touch it, to feel of it. And he stopped me. He said, No. That is sacred. You cannot touch it. Well, I got a lesson at that time that I had never known before, how some of these icons are so sacred. So the people of the city were demanding that Gideon be killed. And by the grace of God, Gideon's father stood up.
Amen.
And he said, if Gideon has destroyed your God, let your God defend himself.
That's right.
Amen.
No, they say, we have to defend the integrity of our God. But you know what? My God is able to defend himself.
Amen.
So anyway, let him plead for himself. And the word went out to the to Israel that we're going to gather an army and we're going to fight the Gideonites. The Midianites, I mean. Yeah, the Midianites. So I sort of passed over the part about the fleece, you know, where he had to make sure that this was God. You know, puts a fleece out, it gets wet one night, the next night it gets dry, you know.
ያው ታሪኩ ረጅም ነው እግዚአብሔርን የጠየቃቸው ነገሮች ነበር አይደለ በጤዛ መልክ በተለያየ ነገር መልክ በጣል መልክ እየተገለጠ እንዴ ምልክት እንዲሰጠው እንደዛ ሁሉ ሆነዋል
There's nothing wrong with making sure that you heard the voice of God
ምንም ችግር የለውም እግዚአብሔር አንድ ነገር ተነግሯችሁ ማረጋገጫ መጠየቅ ኃጢአት አይደለም
But we don't put a fleece out anymore
ነገር ግን ደግሞ ብዙ ጊዜ ተጠራጣሪ መሆን ግን የለብንም
Now we have the confirmation of the Holy Spirit. All right, so the forces of Israel began to gather. They began to come together. And let's see where we are now. There were 32,000 men that came together. 32,000 men. How would you like to have 32,000 men to work with you? How would you like to have 32,000 evangelists here in Addis Ababa? Preachers preaching the word. Preachers coming with their wives, mighty women of valor.
በከንደመለከታቸው በተለያየ ነገራቸው ተዘጋጅተው እንደዛ እንደወጡ እንደዚህ እግዚአብሔር ነገር ሊናገሩ 32000 ነው ቢኖር
You would say surely we can turn the city upside down.
ግጠኛነን በአንድ ለቆጣን እቺን ከተማ
Surely we can change all the religion, we can change all the churches.
ግጠኛነናቸውን በቤተክርስቲያንም ሾልከው የገቡትን ህዝቡንም በስርዓት ያሰሩትን በአንድ ጊዜ
እናረጋል We're going to make a battle plan. We're going to call it Youth for Christ or Christ for the Nations or what I don't know some name we'll give it. Christ for Ethiopia. Jesus the Ethiopia Saver Ministry.
Jesus Christos Ethiopia Dino የሚለውን ስም ሰይመን ministry.
And we'd have training programs for all these people and seminars and we rent the hotels we would have a plan oh we have to have movies to show too we have to go to all the churches and show them the Jesus movie You know, I met some men in Hungary many years ago. And they had just come back from Romania and what's that other? Bulgaria. And they came to the little house where we were in Kishkenhalas. And they had come from an organization in America. And the one man said to me, he said, you know, the work of spreading the gospel in all the world has been finished now. And he said to me, there's nothing more for you to do. I said, what do you mean there's nothing more for me to do? He said, we've now shown the movie in all the cities. But I didn't think the message of the gospel of the kingdom was finished yet.
የክርስቶስ የማዳን ወንጌል ገና ተሰብኮ አላለቀም አልኩኝ
So his gospel was finished. My gospel isn't finished. Because Jesus said, when my gospel of the kingdom is finished, then the end will come. So that was 20 years ago and it wasn't the end. So he's waiting for you to finish the job. Okay, so Gideon had become a general in the army. All the army was under Gideon. 32,000 soldiers. And the Lord said to Gideon, there are too many. Too many. Too many soldiers. But God, the Midianites are without number. Their camels are without number. They're like the sand of the sea. There must be 100,000. 300,000. You know, it was not at all uncommon in those days, I've read the history, for armies to go out with 100, 200, 300,000 men. Not uncommon. You say, well, there was not enough population in the world. Oh, yes, there was. So 32,000 was too many to fight against what could have been 300,000. Who's quick at math? What would that ratio be?
Actually, in chapter 8 it says it was 120 plus the 15,000 that were Sisera. So it was 135,000.
135,000. Now, I can't do the math quick enough to see what that ratio would have been.
About 4-1.
Yeah. Okay, so God, listen, God is sifting out the church. Do you believe me? Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, is going to come into the fullness of the kingdom of God. Not everyone that says, I want to be a son of God, is going to finish the course. The first thing God said, tell your army, anyone who is fearful,
yes,
you can go home now. In other words, you really don't want to be here. You really want to be home with your wife? You really want to go back to your business? You really want to go back to your job? You really want to go back to your farm? If that's what you want to do, you're free. Go ahead. You're not condemned. But you're not fit to fight in this army. So, was it 22,000 returned to their home? That left 10,000. What is Gideon now? He's not a general anymore. Maybe he's a colonel now. He's a lower officer. Amen. So 10,000, was it 10,000 remained?
Yes.
And the Lord saw the 10,000 and he said to Gideon, still too many. But Lord, we're going to fight, what was it, 130,000?
135,000.
What is the ratio now?
About 12 to 1.
They were outnumbered 12 to 1. Now remember, they're not going out with grenades and machine guns. They're going out with swords. And the swords of some of these men of Israel was maybe nothing but a wooden piece. And when I get in the heat of battle, I'm going to have to kill 13 men that are coming against me.
That's right.
13 devils are going to try to destroy me. And God, you say that's too many? What do you intend to do? Amen. So here they're going to have a test. In verse 4 of chapter 7, and the Lord said to Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water that I may try them for thee there, and it shall be that to whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee, and whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. All right, so Gideon said, all right, army, we're going down to the water. You haven't had a drink in a long time. Let's everybody go down and we're going to take a good, cool drink of water. So, but I won't tell you. I just want you to take them down to drink. Now, most of the people were very thirsty. And they went down to drink like I used to when I was young in the wilderness. It was clean, it was okay in the mountains. And I just go and I drink. And but there were some of the people, they took the water like this and they drank it like this. And the Lord said, the ones that drink like this, they can go home now. But the ones that drink like this, that's your army. Okay, that was 300. Now, what is the spiritual significance of these two different kind of drinking water? And what has drinking water have to do with the Word of God? Did the Lord not say that we are washed clean with the washing of the water of the Word?
Amen.
So the water is it's a type of the spirit, but it's also a type of the word. So how do we respond when the spirit of the word is being given? How do we drink it? Do you just put your head down and drink anything that comes along? Well, if the pastor said it, it must be true. If the pastor said it, it must be true. If that big guy on the television program that's got thousands of people, if he said it, it must be true. I'll drink it. So we human beings, we have only eyes in the front. We're not like a dog or a cow or with the eyes on the side. And when your face is in the water, you can't see anything around you. But when you take the water like this, you're watching.
Right.
You're alert. The enemy is not going to sneak up on you.
Amen.
It almost reminds me of what the Lord said about the clean animal. The clean animal has the cloven hoof. Rightly dividing the word of God. And see, the horse does not have that. The horse and the donkey. And he chews the cud. Amen. The pig doesn't chew the cud. So he was unclean. So the chewing of the cud is, you hear the word, it sounds like a hard word, and nevertheless, the brother read it from the word, but you have a hard time. You don't understand. So you go home and you chew, you bring it back up and you chew. The next day you bring it up and chew it again. And you chew the word until you can digest it. So, of all the 30,000 of Israel that wanted to be of the sons of God, 300 were chosen.
Amen. Israel in Tulit, Kamidia, Malamatari,
I'm thinking 300.
I divided it. It's 4,500. They were outnumbered 4,500 to 1.
Okay, but now what was the ratio of the 300 to the
130,000? How much did they lose?
What was the ratio? 1 to 100?
I think it's less than a percent.
4,000 something, yes? Yeah?
4,000 something times.
No, that was the Midianites.
Yes. Right.
Now divide
32,000.
300 into 32,000.
You might come. Yeah.
4,000? Is that 1 to 10 or 1 to 100?
Oh, no, it's less than a percent.
Yes.
So it would be less than 1 of 100.
Yeah.
We're not only seeing a picture, this is not exact figures now. Don't go and say. But we're seeing the forces of evil and the how they are arrayed against us. But we also see the condition of the church in prepared to fight the warfare. Is only one out of 100 that say I'm born again really ready to face the enemy in these last days? How many true overcomers are there in the church? See, I'm using the term overcomer. I'm using the term sons of God. I could use the term the man-child people. Revelation 12, the man-child people. Many terms I could use. We could say the 144,000 company. Amen. So he has his army, and they're ready to go to war. And so now he has 300 men, and they're ready to take their weapons. And did the Lord issue 300 of the nicest, brightest swords that could be found in the land? No. For you will not win by flesh and blood. You are not fighting flesh and blood. You are fighting principalities and powers and rulers of wicked darkness. So if you're going to a spiritual battle, you have to use spiritual weapons. You see, most of the church is using natural weapons. You can't just say that you've preached the gospel of the kingdom everywhere because you took a movie everywhere. By the way, it's a nice movie. It's a good movie. But I haven't been called to take the movie. Okay, so they have their weapons. And let's see what their weapons were. It says that he was still a little unsure of himself. Oh, here it is. Verse 8. No, wait a minute. Not quite. I'm looking where they had their three weapons. But let's get to again, Gideon had to test this out. So the Lord said, "Go with your servant Pura and go down into the Gideon camp at night." And they came to the tent of one of the Midianites. And they heard one of the Midianite soldiers telling his roommate that he had a dream. I had a dream. And the dream was that a barley cake came rolling down into the camp of the Midianites. It smote the tent and knocked it down. And his tent mate interpreted the dream. And he said, this barley cake means that it is the sword of Gideon. Amen. That is coming down and we're going to lose. And you know what barley means spiritually. Barley means first fruits. Go back to Exodus. Yeah, the barley was the first grown when the hail came, and it destroyed the barley because it was the first fruit before the wheat. So the interpretation was that this is the first fruit company that is coming down to destroy us. Amen. The first fruit Gideon 300 company. So Gideon is now assured that God is going to bring the victory. He had to hear it from the mouth of his enemies. Now, you know, when Joshua sent the two spies to to Jericho.
Okay.
The woman, what was her name?
Rahab.
Rahab told the spies. She said, "We have heard what God did, and we are afraid, and we are going to lose."
በጓዳ ድብቃቸው ጥላት መጥቷል ታሪኩን ታቃላችሁ እና ምን እንደሆነ ምስጢሩ ዛም ክፍል ላይ የእግዚአብሔር ቃል ይናገራል.
So if you hear it from the enemy, you can be, it can be a confirmation. Yes, we are going to lose and you're going to win.
ጥላት በራሱ ትንቢት ከተናገረላችሁ አትፍሩት. መሸነፉን አውቃልና.
Amen. You don't mind if we go a few more minutes?
I think we can.
Just a few more. Is that okay?
To fight, to finish. Okay, yes.
Okay. So they took, here's their weapons. Verse 16. They divided the 100 men into three companies. So Gideon's only a sergeant now. Okay. And they, every man, here's his weapon, a trumpet in one hand, empty earthen vessel in the other hand, and a lamp inside of the pitcher or the earthen vessel. So the earthen vessel is like the flesh. But inside is a priceless treasure, the Spirit of God. And in the other hand, the Word of God. Sounding the Word of God. That's what the trumpet is. Trumpet is the announcement of God. So they went on three sides.
Amen.
And the men broke the earthen vessel.
ሶስተኛ የተከፈሉት እንዲያርጉ ብያችሁ ነበርኩ. ልክ መለከቱ ሲነፉ
We have to be broken of our flesh and let the light of God's Spirit out.
That's right.
Amen.
Then we sound the warning of God.
Amen.
And when that happens, you don't need to fight anymore. These Midianites and whatever other kind of ites that were with them, they began to destroy one another.
Amen.
Let me say one more thing. When did this happen? At midnight. It said it was the middle watch at night. So you can see midnight is coming.
Mr. Odermo? ሩጫቹ በመሽት እንዳይሆን ስለ ጌታ መምጣት ነው ሚስጥሩ አሜን
Now it is later than you ever thought before.
ስለዚህ ወገኖች አሁን እንደ ድሮው መታስቡበት ወቅት አይደለም የጌታ መምጣት ቅርብ ነው ምሽቱ
Hallelujah. And they defeated completely.
ሙሉ በሙሉ ጠላቶቻቸውን ደመሰሱ.
They fought one another. The devils... Listen, if you want to see a picture of the devil's people fighting and killing one another, look at the Mideast. Look at Islam. They say they're going to bring Islam to all the world. It's not possible. They fight one another and kill one another. They'll never be united. But Jesus said that his church is going to be one. He prayed that prayer. Amen. And he's going to have his prayer answered. God bless you.